Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5, verse 1 through 14. Second Kings 5, 1 through 14. Okay, I'll read from verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master, and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Aram said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." It happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. He was clean. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you that you're so good to us and your love is here with us, and we just want to be in your presence. We want to come before you and meet with you. And I pray that you will speak to us through this passage and help us to just pray for our church and pray for ourselves, pray for our families, pray for Hong Kong. I pray that you will lead us today. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so this is a well-known story. We heard it many times, I'm sure, with Elisha and Naaman, and how he comes to him with leprosy, and Elisha doesn't even go out of his house. He sends a messenger and says, "Hey, go and wash in the River Jordan." Is it the Jordan? Yeah, River Jordan, 7 times, and you will be restored. And then he gets offended. Naaman's like, "What? I thought he would come out to me. Surely he was going to come out to me and pray to his God and do something, and my flesh will be restored." So he, his pride, I think, gets in the way of him obeying. But his servant, who is in a more humble position than himself, so maybe he's used to being treated in a more humbling manner. They speak some sense into him and says, hey, all he's saying is go and wash. If he told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? But he just said, go and wash. So he kind of comes to his senses. He humbles himself and he does it 7 times and his flesh is restored. If you read on, Naaman comes back to Elisha and tells him that he will never worship another god. He says, I will only worship Yahweh. But forgive me this one thing, because if I'm serving my master, the king, and he's bowing down to another god, and I'm with him, helping him up, I have to bow down with him. And Elisha says, go in peace. So through this story, there's many things that we usually focus on Naaman. We usually focus on his pride and how that got in the way. We also might focus on Elisha, the man of faith that he is, or the power of God to heal. But today I want to draw our attention to verse 2 and the little servant girl from the land of Israel. So verse 2 says this, now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy. I want to draw our attention to this little servant girl. And there's a few lessons I believe that she can kind of teach us. Even though it's only 2 verses out of the entire Bible, I think there are a few things that I would like to highlight. And there are many things we could focus on, we could look at. First, we see her attitude. You know, she is taken captive from her land, her homeland, and she's here as a, almost like a prisoner. You know, she's been taken captive, and she is here probably against her will, right? She would have loved to probably be home with her family, her parents. But she is here in a foreign land, taken captive, serving a master that she wouldn't have originally had to serve. But I see that her attitude, even in a foreign land, is that of a servant, you know, she genuinely cares for her master and for her mistress. And it reminds me of figures like Joseph and Daniel. You know, when they were taken captive, Joseph sold by his brothers, and Daniel taken captive as an exile. And they were serving their pagan lords, pagan bosses. Bosses that clearly were not walking with the Lord. Maybe they weren't righteous, they had pride issues. All these things. But they served faithfully, and they did all that they could to really help the nations, or help their masters prosper in everything that they did. And they had a servant's heart, genuinely sought after the best for their masters. And this girl is the same way. And I think there's a lot to be learned from that, especially if we're working in a secular job where we might have bosses, and we might be working for a place that you're like it's just not a nice place or whatever. You know, you might not be working for a church. But if we can carry the same attitude like this servant girl had, and really just be faithful and really seek for the best of the company or the best of your boss, your master, I think there's a big difference we can make in their lives. So for those of us here that's not working for the church, I really want to encourage you to be faithful and to really have this kind of an attitude, this servant's attitude, faithful attitude. Number 2, another thing we could look at is, again, I'm reminded of the story of Joseph, but she was really in a difficult circumstance. She came out of her homeland, she was taken captive. I just think, I mean, there's no way she wanted to be here. She was taken captive. The bands of Arameans had gone out. Maybe they destroyed her family, right? Maybe they destroyed her parents, and they took her as a slave girl to this land. But out of this difficult circumstance, God brings good out of it. You know, really similar to Joseph. You know, Joseph says to his brothers, you meant this for evil when you sold me as a slave, but God meant it for good, and God used it to save the people of Israel and to save, you know, our family. And not just save the family, but save Egypt, you know, and the surrounding nations. There's a lot of good that came out of that time. And same thing for her. Through her captivity, which was probably a very terrifying thing for her, Naaman and probably his whole family comes to know Yahweh, comes to know the Lord Yahweh of Israel, and he redeems the situation. And I think something for us to think about, Romans, I think it's Romans 8 that says he works all things for the good of those that love him, that are called according to his purpose. And sometimes it's very hard to have that perspective when we're going through a difficult time, when we're going through a negative experience. All we can think about is, man, this situation is so difficult, and why do we have to go through this? But take a step back and see through Scripture, the pattern is, even though there's a difficult circumstance, God redeems it, you know, and he uses it for good, and he brings something out of that time that is very purposeful and meaningful. So that's the second thing we can kind of gather from this little servant girl, these two verses out of the Bible. And the third one, I want to focus on this one a little more, is just the display of her faith in verse 3. She says to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy. Just as she's so bold in sharing her faith, like a little child. She doesn't complicate things. I mean, the whole nation of Aram probably doesn't know what to do with leprosy. And they're like, what can I do about Naaman and his leprosy? It's a hopeless situation. And you can see just how serious this leprosy is. I mean, my Bible has a footnote that says it might not have been actual leprosy, but it's just a skin disease that was common in the time. But in verse 6, when the letter gets to the king of Israel, you can see how serious this illness is, because the king of Israel says, does he think I'm God that I can bring healing to this thing? Like, he's so upset, and he just thinks, this situation's crazy. What am I going to do? But yet for this little girl, she just says so confidently, she says, oh man, I wish he just could see this prophet, because then he would cure him of his leprosy. And it's not even a big deal for her. She's so bold. She doesn't complicate things in her head. Hebrews 11:6, it says, it is impossible for us to please God without faith. But do we have this kind of faith ourselves? You know, when we're going through something, do we just stop and remind ourselves, oh, just turn to God in prayer? Or do we just try to figure things out on our own? I mean, I do that, you know, most of the times when situations arise. My first instinct is not to pray to God and say, God, I trust you that you are going to do something, that you are, you know, that you are God, that you can bring fruit out of impossible situations and do all these great things. No, I just try to do something on my own and try to fix the situation or whatever. But do we have this kind of faith for ourselves that when we're going through something, we can just turn to God in prayer? And then even more so, just like the servant girl, when somebody else is struggling with something, do we have this kind of faith? Would we be able to go to someone and say, oh, I wish that you could just meet God. I wish that you could just come to church or come pray with me and I'll pray for you and God will cure you of your leprosy. God will do something out of this impossible situation to bring about life and hope and restoration. Or rather, do we complicate things and we don't have that kind of boldness? We have doubts and were unable to move in this kind of faith. A few years ago, I was watching a Brooklyn Tabernacle, the choir in New York, very famous. And I had bought their CD, and it came with a DVD, so I was watching the DVD. And it's an amazing church. They do amazing things. But there's a testimony of this one man who was in the choir. And he used to be, I might be messing up some of the details, but he used to be in the fashion industry. And I think he was a photographer, and he was doing really well. But while he was a photographer, he really just started getting into drugs and I think alcoholism, and he wasn't happy even though he was being successful. And as he was in that place, one of the models that he was photographing, she comes up to him and she just brings up the topic of Jesus. I think she sees that he's really broken. And so she begins to tell him about Jesus and how Jesus can help him and Jesus can bring him out of the situation. But he ignores her, completely just ignores it, and continues to do his work, but continues to get sucked in more and more into drugs and alcohol. Eventually, he becomes homeless. He loses everything because of his drug addiction. And he's living in the streets, and he's so addicted. Every income he gets, he wants to get drugs. And he comes to the end of his ropes. I think he's just overdosed or something, and he's on the streets, and he knows he's going to die. Like, he knows that this is the absolute end. There's nothing that he can do. And in that situation, he's reminded of what his models, one of his models told him about Jesus. So all he does, he just cries out, he just calls out his name. He says, Jesus. Jesus, save me, help me. And then somehow God saves him. Like, the ambulances come, someone finds him, they call the ambulance, they come and they rescue him, and they bring him to the hospital, and then slowly he recovers from this. But he knows that it is his prayer, because he called out to Jesus, that this breakthrough happened. And so he gives his life to Jesus, and then he's completely changed, and now, he comes to church, he's serving in the choir, he's doing other ministry to, he's serving in ministries to help others that are struggling with addiction. But I tell this story because this is a common story that I'm sure many of us has heard before, right? People are in dire circumstances and it's very difficult, but all they can do is call on the name of Jesus. They just cry out and say, Lord, help me. If you're real, if you are out there, would you help me? Would you do something? And then time and time again, we hear testimonies of God just moving and doing something. And yet we struggle to have this kind of faith, like this servant girl, to tell somebody, I know you're in a difficult circumstance, but just come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and he will save you. He will cure you. And we struggle to have that kind of faith, that kind of boldness in introducing people to Christ and to the church and praying for them, stuff like that. So I just want to encourage, myself as well as us here, that we would have this kind of faith like the servant girl that just is able to say so simply, oh, I wish that you were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure you of your leprosy. For us, it would be, I wish that you could just come to Jesus and cry out to him, because then he will come and he will cure you. He'll give you life. He'll give you hope. He will restore and change situations. I want to end with one story. It could be a fictional story, I think, but apparently there was a big drought in this land, in this city, in this town, and it's causing a lot of problems, and so the church is calling for a prayer meeting and gets everybody to come out and say, let's pray, let's fast, and let's really cry out to the Lord that the drought will be broken and the rains will come. And so all these people come, men, women, children, they all come out to pray. And as they start praying and praying and praying, lo and behold, rain starts to come. And it starts to pour, and it's raining and raining and raining. But then people are about to go home, and they realize nobody has brought an umbrella except for this one little boy. And he says, of course I would bring an umbrella. We're praying for the rain. Why wouldn't you bring an umbrella? Right? But all these people, they were praying, but, you know, like the whole idea is we were praying, but we don't really believe that it's going to happen. Except for this little boy with faith like a child, and he thinks, yeah, I'm going to go to the prayer meeting to pray for rain. I'm going to bring an umbrella. And I want us to just, I want us to meditate upon that and see, do we have faith like this little girl that is able to boldly, you know, share with people, yeah, just come to Jesus. I think he'll save you. He could do something in your life. And I guess to hedge our bets on Jesus Christ instead of playing it safe with people, you know? And so let's just pray. Let's go before the Lord. Mon's going to come and lead us in a song. So Holy Spirit, God, I thank you for this simple message, and I know that oftentimes we don't have this faith like the servant girl who just so boldly says, oh, just go to the prophet, then you will be cured. And Lord, I pray that first of all for our own lives, God, when we're going through a difficult situation or a challenge or a difficulty, that we would just go to you in prayer, God. We would trust that you can save, that you are mighty to save, God. Your arm is not too short to save, God, and you can do something and move in this situation, God, that we can have that kind of faith. And then we could share that same faith with others, God, introduce them to Christ and say, yeah, he really can come and bring a difference and bring restoration to your life. I pray that we'll be able to operate in this kind of faith, God. Lord, thank you for this short little story about this little servant girl who had faith in you. And I just pray that you will come and speak to us, God, about situations in our lives where we need faith and about maybe people in our lives that we can share this with. So, Holy Spirit, come. Thank you. Thank you.
to say, He is mighty to say, forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are mighty to save. Let's pray for our community. Let's really declare that God is mighty to save. In their situation, let's pray for God's healing to come. Let's pray that God will move, do something that only He can do to bring healing to our friends going through cancer, chemo, recovering from surgery. So let's lift up our friends. Let's pray. Go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are in need of healing as well as salvation. Let's pray especially for this group that they will turn to God. Let's pray for our friends that they would be able to speak boldly to their family members and invite them to Christ. You know, invite them to go to Christ so that because we believe that Christ can really make a difference in their lives. So let's pray for just anointing and divine opportunities to do that, and that these people will be able to come to know God and also receive healing. So let's pray. Third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members and their family members are struggling with. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray. Let's just lift them up to the Lord. Let's pray together. Go to our fourth slide. Let's pray for our friends looking for a job. Let's pray for favor. Let's pray for just God's protection and God's leading over them. Let's pray for our friends. Go to Saturday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong first. Let's continue to lift up Hong Kong and the Occupy Hong Kong movement. Let's pray for God's protection over this land. Let's pray for the leaders of both sides, and let's pray for the future of Hong Kong. Let's pray for the people of this city, and let's just pray for God's peace. Let's lift up Hong Kong. pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for Indonesia and Singapore. Let's pray for Febe Ministry here in Kupang, which is the place we visit on our annual trip to Indonesia. And let's pray for Singapore. Pray for SP Singapore. Pray for the leaders, the board members, the preaching lay members, and for the worship team and children's team and everyone serving. Let's pray that the church will thrive and help them, that God will help them to persevere as they pray for a pastor. Let's pray for breakthrough in that area as well. So let's lift up Indonesia and Singapore. Pray for the education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the pastors over the ministries. And let's pray for the students themselves, that they will really encounter God at a young age. And that this would be something that really transforms their lives. Let's pray for teachers, leaders, and the young people. Let's pray together. SP 2.0, the new building that we're praying for. Let's just pray that as P. Sam and the board continue to pursue and look for a potential new place, that God will just direct their steps. I don't think we're actively going around, but let's pray that God will just bring the right people. There will be divine appointments with people that bring our church to the right direction. And let's pray for the finances. Let's pray that the church would be faithful to give, but let's also pray for a potential donor that can really... we're just responding to a prophetic word that God would send donors our way that can really provide for us. Let's pray for that. And let's pray that our church would not just be ready financially, but spiritually and just organizationally. Let's pray that our church will be ready for the increase and the multiplication. So let's pray. Thank you. let's pray for this weekend. Pray for growing in Christ. We have a class today, and there's EMP Bible study that Jackie and a few others are leading in different groups. Let's pray for that. Pray for prison outreach. Pray for Sunday service. John Moon will be leading worship. Pastor Sam is coming back at 6 in the morning, and he'll be preaching the message. Let's pray for strength for him and anointing for him. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and SP Youth happening on Sunday. Let's pray for our hospitality ministry, the barista and the welcome team, and all the meetings. There's an all-leaders meeting as well this Sunday. So let's pray for the weekend. Pray for our house churches meeting today, Saturday house churches. Thank you, God, for this time, just to come before you. We want to lift up all our burdens to you, God, and really just pray to you and rely on you, God. Give us faith, God, to know that you will make a difference, God, that we can come to you and pray to you. It's not just a formality, God, but Lord, you're real, and you're so kind and merciful, God, and you hear our prayers, God, and help us. If there are people that you're putting on our hearts to share this to, I pray that we'll be able to do that as well, like the servant girl here in this story. And thank you that you hear all the prayers, God, that we've prayed to you. We lift up everybody and again to you and pray for your covering over them. And just pray for this day that we'll be able to glorify you in everything that we do. I pray that you fill our hearts with joy and hope and peace, God, as we begin this day. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.